views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
The New York Nonprofit Press, the industry standard for nonprofits, is a must-read for over 20,000 New York City and state executives. Those who know the nonprofit world count on the NYNP to deliver breaking news and get messages across into the nonprofit industry. Ads can be placed in our paper, daily emails, or on our website. For more information, visit nynp.biz or email publisher at nynp.biz. The New York Nonprofit Press, serving people who serve people.
Good morning and welcome to the Nonprofit Voice. My guest this morning is Lauren Altshuler, who's a licensed psychotherapist, and she discusses the relationship between diet and mental and physical health. Welcome to the show, Lauren.
Thank you, Allison.
Well, we have a little bit of a different show this morning because normally we have a guest, an inspiring woman from a nonprofit organization, and you're a little bit different. I know we're not typically here for a nonprofit, but you do provide an incredible amount of education about the link between mental diet and mental and physical health, which I don't think is a lot of things that people think about, but through your own journey and your journey educating others, you've really seen the benefits of those kind of changes. So tell me about your own journey.
Absolutely. Back originally, I was diagnosed in 2008 with Hashimoto's, and that's an autoimmune disease of the thyroid gland. And so back then I was just given some Synthroid, which is, you know, hormone replacement, and kind of sent on my way with lots and lots of symptoms that just did not seem to get better. I was exhausted all the time. I was in my 40s and felt like I thought I would feel when I was 80. I had brain fog, muscle aches, dry skin, belly bloat. Just nothing really felt well and nothing got better on the Synthroid. And so I had that. That was going on for years. I was complaining and complaining to all my friends. Everybody said, this is just aging. This is normal. I'd complain to my doctors. They would say, you know, there's nothing wrong. Your blood work looks fine to me.
Yeah, it must have been so frustrating, right? I mean,
absolutely.
I have a lot of guests on this show, Lauren, who go to traditional doctors, and the patient knows that there is just something wrong. You know, you know your own body, and you know that there's something wrong, and you keep getting doctor after doctor telling you, it's all in your head, you're crazy, you're just tired, you're getting older, this is aging, don't even get me started, that's like a whole separate show.
You're a mom, you're running in 20 million directions, but I knew it was way more than that. I would sleep a full 8 hours, clearly, and wake up in the morning and feel like I hadn't even slept.
Really? Okay, because like I feel that way every day, but okay. Well, but I think
but
a lot of moms
it.
Do, right?
Well, see, that. You just thought that same thought, but it really isn't normal.
So when did you
health? You know, you
if
you're exhausted
normal.
All the time and you're actually sleeping like 7 hours, that's like an early sign that there's like a root cause, something behind the scenes that's a little bit starting to go wrong. And the thing is, when you do go to the doctor, they really just look at, are you in range or are you out of range in your blood work?
Well, they're probably trying to check the boxes, right? They're thinking about their sort of traditional protocol, and you look okay, you know, that kind of, they're probably saying to themselves, you look fine and whatever, and your blood levels are okay. So when did you finally cross the line into actually getting a diagnosis of an autoimmune disorder?
Well, I actually was one of the rare people that was given a Hashimoto's diagnosis off the bat. Usually people are told they have a low thyroid and they don't realize that there's a Hashimoto's component, which is actually causing the low thyroid behind the scenes. But even though I was actually diagnosed properly, I was still just told to take the Synthroid as if was the low thyroid without really an understanding of what's causing that.
Okay.
And isn't that
the normal kind of protocol anyway, that
we're
all just sort of directed to medicine, and that may be the right treatment for a lot of people. And what was happening when you were given the traditional course of treatment? What were you seeing results?
No, absolutely nothing changed. And years had gone by and more hormone issues developed. Prediabetes then became an issue. And so the Synthroid wasn't changing anything about what was really going on behind the scenes until my husband was actually watching Channel 12, Long Island Naturally. And a functional medicine doctor was on.
Okay, functional medicine, what's that?
That is a doctor, not always an MD. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are maybe a chiropractor who then got trained, which was the case in this with this particular doctor. But they have some sort of medical background and then went into this functional medicine, which means they're root cause doctors. They're not doctors that look to medicate. They're doctors that look to see what is going on under the surface, behind the scenes. Why is there an autoimmune disease? What is happening mm-hmm. that's actually creating that? Let's treat that underlying problem mm-hmm. instead of just give meds. And meds might be needed too, but the meds don't heal. Mm-hmm. And they're all about healing. They're very focused on gut health. And that's really where it all came together for me, understanding that, wow, I have an autoimmune disease because I have a leaky gut. And so when one has a leaky gut, what you eat actually flows into the blood. And your body says, wait a minute, that gluten, in my case, for example, that gluten is in the blood. It's not supposed to be there. And the body mounts an attack against that gluten as if it's, you know, a bacteria, a virus, something like that. And so your entire immune system turns on inflammation throughout the body. So often you'll have muscle aches. People are often complaining, I have muscle aches, I'm exhausted. Because if your immune system is being turned on every time you eat gluten, I mean, think about it. Bagels for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch, right. Pretzels, then pasta.
Well, it's everywhere. I mean, I don't know about you, Lauren, but like, you know, without naming numbers, okay, you know, you and I are women of a certain age. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, I don't think I ever even heard the word autoimmune.
Absolutely.
I don't even know. I'm sure it existed, but it certainly was not as prevalent as it is today. And
correct.
With children, we're hearing all kinds of things about celiac disease, all kinds of different things. And so why is autoimmune disorders, why are they so prevalent now? Is there something in the environment? Are we just becoming more aware of them? Is medical science sort of shining a light on these kind of issues? What's your experience?
That's actually such a good question and a really important one for people to understand. And that is that there's really, it is not just that doctors are noticing it. Mm-hmm. When I was a kid, I knew one person ever who had diabetes, autoimmune disease, Crohn's, colitis, all these things that everyone on your block has, every classroom has children with mm-hmm. autoimmune disease. That was not the case. And why this is happening is because there's an evolutionary mismatch between how we're living and how our bodies were designed to live.
Okay, so let me break that down to really simplify it. So I think what you're saying mm-hmm. is that humans have just not evolved to keep up with the level of processed foods and our digestive tract just wasn't made for that. Is
exactly.
that really what you're saying?
I'm saying a few things. Number one, I'm saying that all the genetically modified food, which has the glyphosate, the Roundup Ready crops, are actually pesticides that our body can't integrate. It can't eliminate when we eat those foods. They get those chemicals. As the food passes out, right. the chemicals stay in.
So your body just doesn't know what to do with it some people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. They do not know what to do with it. And it starts to gnaw at the lining of the gut and create a situation where an actual hole mm-hmm. between the stomach and the blood exists. So that's one huge reason. But another huge reason is stress. Because stress causes the gut to become leaky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we're under a stressful situation, think about it. People who really suffer from anxiety, what happens when they are under stress? First, you have butterflies in the stomach. Maybe you're nauseous. Maybe you throw up. Maybe you get diarrhea, mm-hmm. right, when you're nervous. So what is that all about? And what that's about is that the gut is hearing. The emotions that you feel are immediately transferred to the gut. There's a complete gut-brain connection. And so your body is thinking, oh my God, there's something terrible going on. Maybe I'm in a war, because mm-hmm. the body can't tell the difference between mm-hmm. a war and just being a little stressed because you're going to be on a radio show today.
I hope that wasn't
the
case.
Really. But I'm just saying, so the body says, you know what? We have no time for digestion right now. Let's eliminate what's in the stomach so that the body can just focus on surviving the war, surviving this moment of stress. So it will make a person throw up. It'll create a leaky gut situation temporarily.
And it's interesting because I would imagine, Lauren, that it's kind of a self-perpetuating thing because people who are under stress, some people turn to food as a way to comfort themselves.
Yes.
And therefore, aren't they just kind of literally feeding the anxiety and
Absolutely.
Doing it all over again?
Yeah. And what do we tend to look to for comfort? Kind of those high-carb kind of comfort foods that tend, you know, a bagel, you know, your pretzels, your chips, things like that.
Okay, so to recap, Sweets. For anyone who's just tuning in, my guest this morning is Lauren Altshuler, who is a licensed psychologist, but treats patients and educates patients about the relationship between dietary changes and mental and physical health. I think a lot of us listening have probably heard about the relationship between physical health, like Crohn's, celiac, and other autoimmune disorders, and the benefits that can happen from a change in diet. I didn't know that there's also a connection to anxiety and also depression, right?
Yes.
So tell me about that, because this is really a new and developing field in the science, right?
Absolutely. And so, you know, when that, I was talking about that leaky gut, that when things flow into the blood that are not supposed to be there and that immune system gets, you know, turned on when it's really not supposed to be in a chronic way, it leads to an inflammatory response in the body. And so I know everybody probably hears, oh, that kind of makes sense. I'm hearing constantly how inflammation is really the underlying key of most physical illnesses. And what we're seeing now is inflammation is actually the underlying effect, you know, the cause of mental issues as well, like such as anxiety, depression, and, you know, even things like OCD. All of this is inflamed brain.
Wow. I had no idea. You know, like I said, now that we're, I feel like, learning more as a society around autoimmune conditions and the linkage to dietary changes, it's interesting to see that dietary changes could improve mental health as well.
Absolutely.
So how does one go about starting it? All right, so you've made this causal connection, but what do you do about it? It's a little intimidating if you tell people, give up your bagels every day.
Absolutely.
What are they supposed to do? It's easy to do, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, back in 2012, when I first found functional medicine, when I, you know, unfortunately was failed by conventional medicine, nothing was getting better. Basically, they do a very thorough evaluation. Stool as well as blood is usually where they begin. Sometimes they do some testing that's not typical by a regular doctor. They test more things. They might have some labs they can send things to that are not standard labs. And, you know, so I was tested for gluten, dairy, soy, and egg allergy. And I remember leaving thinking, okay, if I have to be sensitive to one, because I really had no education at that time at all about this, you know, which one could I give up? You know, gluten, I really don't want to give up gluten. You know, egg, like, it's in everything. How do you give up egg? And so it came back that I was sensitive to all four.
Lucky you.
Lucky me. Right. So that was a really hard day. And that is what, you know, one sensitivity, you know, if you don't have celiac, often if it's a leaky gut situation, you are sensitive to more things.
And so, were you kind of hearing, so what was the reaction that you got from people? Because I imagine, Lauren, when you try to tell people, you know, I'm feeling really tired and exhausted and my hair is changing and my skin is changing and the reaction probably was, it's all in your head, it's just getting older, deal with it, right?
Absolutely.
And now you're coming to them and saying also on top of it, all your friends and family, you're saying, and now, by the way, I basically have to give up every single food that is easy to get, that you're kind of used to in your day-to-day. And what was the reaction?
Yeah, well, as you could imagine, people thought I was a little crazy, you know? I mean, I immediately, so I was put on a complete elimination diet, which is often the case. So not only the gluten, dairy, soy, and egg, they have you eliminate those things, sugar, coffee, alcohol, all grains, all nuts, pretty much everything that you could possibly typically respond to was taken away. So that was like an 8-week thing. And even though it was so hard to figure out what to eat, I felt so great during that period that I knew I was on to something. So that motivation really helped change me. It was hard, and I really had to spend time. This isn't just a pill, go on your way. But during that time, so you've eliminated everything for 8 weeks, then you start to add things back one by one, and you see if you're okay. So then, you know, a few, you know, 8 weeks in, I'm sort of...
But that's a pretty quick turnaround. I mean, considering that you had been suffering, suffering for years and years, really almost a decade, right?
And most people kind of find functional medicine at that point because, you know, it is an out-of-pocket expense. And, you know, until you're really sick and tired of being sick and tired, you don't necessarily want to pay for something out of pocket. But, you know, I did what I had to do, and I'd go out to dinner with friends, and they'd say, you're crazy, you can't eat anything, you eat like a little mouse, this is ridiculous, how long are you going to be able to do this? I'd go out with them, you know, 6 months later, that you're still doing this diet? And I'm like, no, I'm not doing a diet. I just now don't eat gluten, dairy, soy, and eggs, and keep my sugar really low, you know? And they're like, aren't you going to have wine? No, I'm not going to have wine. Yeah, why? Because my head will be on the table and I'll be asleep in 5 minutes if I do, you know? So for me, it was a hard transition. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard to not have pizza, you know, but I found exciting new ways to have pizza.
Okay, so let's get into this, because mm-hmm. this is what I really find so fun and interesting mm-hmm. to talk about too, is that you really made this almost like your life's work. It's become a little bit of an obsession for you, I have
a
to say,
bit of
from
an obsession.
Studying your
yes.
social media presence. I had to say, this woman's a little crazy, but you've become really obsessed, right, with... finding ways to incorporate these kind of changes into an everyday lifestyle that is mm-hmm. accessible to everybody. Mm-hmm. So tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's been a progression, you know. First, I didn't know about the magic of yuca, which is what I definitely want to talk about in a minute. But at first, I just started to think about how can I always have food in my refrigerator? Because the hardest part, I think, is not having... You know, on top of all that, I've sort of, besides the gluten, dairy, soy, and egg, I don't eat processed foods, which to me is really the number one thing anybody can do mm-hmm. to help their health, you know.
Well, that's a sort of core tenet of a lot of the,
yes.
you know, sort of, I'll call them diets. They're really lifestyle changes, mm-hmm. Paleo and Whole30 and other
Absolutely.
Things that are out there. But
I
you really went
that.
A step beyond, because
right.
you have started a whole website mm-hmm. called crazyforyuca.com. Yuca mm-hmm. is Y-U-C-A. And I had never heard of yuca before I met you. I thought, you know, what is, I thought, I didn't know if it was a person, if it, right? I didn't know who this person, this yeah. magical thing is. So what is, how did
okay.
you discover this?
Exactly. So about 6 years into eating this way, I was at a restaurant for my birthday about a year and a half ago, and they had something called yuca fries with chili on top. It was at the Purple Elephant up in Northport, and it was labeled gluten-free on the menu, and I'm all about like running right to the things with the GFs on the
right.
menu.
Right. Well, we're lucky that now they have that.
Yes.
Right. In a lot
Wait,
of places.
Way so. Easier than mm-hmm. when I first started, and so I asked them, "What is this?" You know, and they said, it's gluten-free, we're sure of it. And I'm like, are you sure? Because I've really never heard of it, and this is strange. So I tasted it, I loved it, and I went home, and I started to research online. What is yuca? Is it really gluten-free? What have people done with it? What is it all about? And I just completely, from the very first recipe of my own, which I think I boiled it and put it in my food processor and becomes a dough when you boil it, and you put it in your food processor for about 30 seconds. It turns into a dough like ball, and then I roll it out and bake it. I made flatbread, like a garlic bread. I like put a little avocado oil, a little garlic powder, mm-hmm. and little sea salt, and baked it up and said, oh my God, this tastes exactly like flatbread. I would mm-hmm. never know that this wasn't wheat. And right then I said, I didn't think I missed bread. You know, I had gotten so used to, I'm fine, it's great, I don't miss it, I'm, you know, don't need that sensation. But when I bit into that crispy flatbread, I realized right then, wow, there's this whole sensation that I've been missing. And that's where Crazy for Yuca was born, because I said, wow, gluten-free people do not have to suffer if they know about yuca. Mm-hmm. And so I started to realize, wow, this is a staple food throughout all of Latin America, throughout Asia, throughout Africa. They eat this, you know, wheat is not their thing. They eat this as their starch. So that started to make me completely fascinated. And then I started to research, well, what are they doing it with it in all these different countries? And what are all the different, how could I make typical American foods with yuca and, you know, just swap it out instead of wheat? And now I realize there's nothing I can't make that right. I used to make
well,
with wheat.
Well, you're really being humble when you just say that there's nothing you can't make, because anyone who looks at your website will see the unbelievable creations that you have made from it. And we're going to talk about those when we come back in our second segment. My guest this morning is Lauren Altshuler, who's a licensed psychologist and who discusses the relationship between dietary changes and mental and physical health. And we're going to be back with Lauren in the second half to talk more about her own journey to physical wellness and mental wellness, and how she can help so many people out there who are listening, and their children who are suffering from autoimmune conditions. And we'll be right back with Lauren in the second segment. Thanks for listening.